Hi, I'm Chris Serber. I'm the senior minister here at First Congregational Church of Naples. I'm also the executive director and founder of Supply and Multiply, a mission organization my family and I and a whole bunch of friends founded while living in the island nation of Haiti, which now is serving other parts of the Caribbean and Latin America as well. So today, I've got a special friend of mine, a precious saint, a dear member of this church, Mr. Larry Linderer, and he and I are going to talk today about his testimony of faith. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and this is verse 15. It says this: "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to give to anyone an answer for the hope that lies within you." Today, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be sharing and learning about Larry's testimony of faith, how God's worked in his life. And welcome, Larry.
Okay, thank you.
So glad that you're here with us. So, thank you. Yeah, so let's just start with your story. How is it that you've come to know the Lord? What kind of journey did he have you on? And I'm confident that we'll learn some of the ways God works in our lives.
Well, I guess I can go back. As you know, I'm 90 years old, and the first 60 years, I thought I was a good Christian, okay? I did all the things from my going to Sunday school as a kid and getting confirmed and doing all those things. My family went to church all the time. I always took my family to church, and I always did those things. But quite frankly, church was not that big in terms of, I was so focused on my family. It was family first, church second, and country last, okay?
Oh, yeah, and you were involved in business, and you were business, providing for the family, and you were doing all those things.
Well, and I spent most of my time in that, and I have, as I quit in the business, after the first 60 years, okay, I sold my business that I'd heard to my son, Doug, and I went sailing. I'm a sailor, as you may remember, right. I told you about it. I went sailing for that. In 1993, I took the winter off, and I was going to sail down the coast and into Bahamas and what have you. I was pretty much by myself and had a chance to think about the first 60 years of my life.
Right.
And what it came to me is I picked up an article one day when I was in a port, and I picked up a magazine that had an article, and it was so interesting because it was a pastor talking about it's not science or God. It's God and science.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this pastor was so overwhelming with what he was saying. He brought me into, go to Genesis 1:1, for example. And in the beginning, God created heavens and earth.
Right.
And he said, if you believe that, then you can believe all the miracles and all the things that God has done creating us and doing everything. I always wondered, when I'd been to the out in Arizona where the Grand Canyon, people always say, well, that's not the majesty of God. That's evolution and creation.
It's
the big boom,
Right.
Well, that isn't so.
Right.
What's happened, if you believe and can believe that God created the heavens and earth,
right.
See, he created the Grand Canyon. He created us, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. I've just grown. Yeah. And by the way, all the 60 years I've had, I've always said the Lord's Prayer. Okay.
Right.
I've always said the Apostles' Creed, and I've always said those things, but I've not always totally believed them. All of them, because science told us differently in those days. Okay.
Yeah.
And I feel differently about it now. That article convinced me to do more thinking. Well, my cruise, I met another guy who was on the captain of a boat called the Good News. Now, the Good News was because he's a strong Christian,
awesome.
Okay? He also was an insurance guy. And I spent a lot of time talking to him about Jesus and Christ and the Lord and the creation and what have you.
Right.
And he convinced me that all the things that I had questions about were not true. If I can believe that God created this heavens and earth, then everything else falls into place.
Oh, absolutely. Even things like the Grand Canyon, a lot of totally legitimate, profoundly intelligent, well-educated, qualified scientists point to things like the Grand Canyon as evidence of Noah's flood, for example. It simply isn't true that science is incompatible with
faith. But see, I found that out later I did more reading. He said, find out for yourself, he said. Yeah. I forget this guy's name. I should, at my age, I should remember, but I've forgotten it. But he convinced me, do your own research.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I spent more time reading about things, and the scholars, the religious scholars and secular scholars have agreed about Jesus' life and teachings, okay?
Yeah.
And I came to come to that. Now, I've always had trouble years ago now with the Old Testament. I don't have the same problem because I always believed in Genesis, but as I go on in Genesis, there's some things I read I didn't like, frankly.
Absolutely.
Moses, for example, killing the Egyptian guy.
That's right.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And that bothered me.
Yeah.
And so the Old Testament, so this captain of the sailboat convinced me that good news, it starts with the good news, which is the Gospels. Yeah. And I really am big on that right now. I just
And you are right now at a season in your life where it seems obvious to me that you want only to grow closer to the Holy Spirit, to be led of God and to be used of God, which I think is a beautiful thing. And so you spent a lot of years, you're building business, raising your family. You were a good person, and you were even involved in the church and things.
Exactly.
You know, what do you think was what brought it home to have a real revival experience? I mean, what led up to that, do you think? Where that happened for you?
Okay, I started thinking about all the good things that have happened to me in the first 60 years.
Right
from I was born in 1933. My father and mother lost their jobs that I was born.
Same week, wow.
Oh, same week. Yeah. And he left looking for a job and never returned.
Right.
In fact, I didn't meet him until I was in college.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's how, but you know, that was, the Holy Spirit did that because he set my whole life up to be raised by my grandmother and my uncles.
Yeah.
My mother, who was a very outstanding, I've been raised by my grandmother and my mother, who are just outstanding people. It turned out she would never have had to go. If he had stayed around and worked and what have you, we'd have been entirely different.
Oh,
but she had to drop me off with my grandmother,
and
she went off to Minneapolis. She took the train to Minneapolis, get a job, and then she took a civil service test.
Sure.
And past that, she was just only a high school graduate.
Yeah,
and by the way, my father was only a high school graduate, But she ended up being recognized by the government. The Department of Agriculture got her.
Yeah.
Gave her a job in Chicago. They liked her, sent her to Washington, D.C. And my grandmother finally said, you need to take this boy, me, because he's becoming too attached to her. And I was.
Yeah.
And so she took me, and so about 9 years old, I took the train to Washington, D.C., and I was raised, and my mother kept me in going to church up there, and that's a different story in itself.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. Yeah, so because you were, raised around and in, you're an influence
Christian.
By Christian people.
We used to walk to church when I was 8 years old, we'd walk to church.
Right,
the church was just up about four or five blocks. In those days, it was a long way for a little kid.
That's right.
But it was so much fun going to Sunday school and hearing about all the stories about Jonah and the fiery furnace
That's what we're going to be talking about Sunday, Jonah.
Is that right?
Yeah, hearing the voice of God.
But people have said to me before, you know, you can't believe in Jonah. I said, yes, I do, because if God created this heavens and earth and he created me, us.
Yeah,
he certainly could have done that.
The belly of a whale is a rather small miracle by comparison.
Exactly,
to
bringing people back to life. Christ, the whole thing about Christ, Jesus, dying on the cross for us and being resurrected and coming back. Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
these days, I mean, you've had in the last, when was it about? Do you think, was it after that sailboat trip?
Yes.
Your faith, you know, really ignited?
Exactly.
Now,
a lot of people know when they came to Jesus, okay? They have the date down.
That's
Mine was the winter of 1993-94.
Yeah.
And that whole time I spent thinking about that and running.
Yeah.
And I give credit to the Holy Spirit. And I found out later it was the Holy Spirit that was in me.
That's right.
I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
But I was all of a sudden that things came to light. Now, I'd always quoted and memorized the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. But now when I say it, yeah, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you think it's the difference? Some people call it, they'll say like, especially with similar stories, they grow up in the church, nothing about the gospel is foreign to them as far as their head knowledge. Some people will say there came a time when the head knowledge became the heart knowledge. I mean, is that something like what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's John. I don't remember the verse, but it's, I am the way, the life.
Oh, yeah, the way, the truth, and the life.
The way, the truth, and life. And the truth is what I found in going to research and do my own research.
Right.
Versus, that's why I ask other people to do. Do your own research. Don't believe what the other people are telling you.
That's right.
Even the government, the media, other people, sometimes other pastors, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't have the same feeling.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, that's why so frequently I say things, maybe I haven't said it a lot lately. Sometimes I'll say, hey, don't take my word for it. Open your Bible.
Okay.
And that's why I aim to teach as closely to the scripture as possible, because that's where the power is, right? And encourage people to get beyond just, you know, it'll be easy. I mean, I have more degrees than a thermostat, all in theology, all in ministry, all in Bible. And I love studying, and I read all kinds of, you know, books from obscure, the more obscure, the better, right? So I could easily, every time I'm teaching the Bible, just try to convince people that I'm smart and tell them what I think. But that's what you got to have, is a personal connection to God and Christ, where the presence of the Holy Spirit sets your soul on fire, where you enter into it's the difference.
But I didn't realize it at the time. The Holy Spirit was in me,
right?
And I've come to realize that was working with me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love Jesus now, and He's in my heart, and I got to know Him. He knows me. I know.
Think about when I first came to pastor this church. Now about 3.5 years ago, I knew your name, but I didn't know you yet. And then once I got to know you, then I said, oh, I love Larry. But before that, it was just head knowledge. I know he exists. I know his name.
Well, that's probably
And it's something like that, where we can easily have a knowledge and even practice. You even took your kids to church. And
all the time,
Like you weren't, you know, your conversion story or your, you know, faith story is not one of, you know, some people, it's like, oh, I was a pagan and I was saved. God saved me. But your story is, I think, probably a more common story than people would realize.
But, you know, really, our generations, the silent generation now, grew up kind of, men didn't really talk too much about religion or Jesus or God. I mean, we just didn't do that.
Right.
Yeah, now that I'm 90, I'm talking about it all the time. they want to shut me up, you know?
Everywhere you go.
No, isn't that true a little bit about men? But we just didn't talk about it. But now I'm more...
There was a woman in a church that I pastored in Illinois, this sweet little old lady named Betty Keebler. And I don't think she was 5 feet tall. So I always remembered her name because it was Keebler. She was like the Keebler elves. She was a little bitty, right? That's how I memorized her name. Yeah. One day I preached a sermon called Obligation or Love. And I was addressing something like that. You know, it's easy to be religious, but not have the love for God. You could be this close, right? I mean, if I was just on the other side of that door and you were just on this side of that door, we would technically only be a couple feet apart.
Yeah.
But if we didn't see each other through the wall, let's say, and we didn't know the other person was there, you could be right there and yet be like, gosh, Larry didn't show up. I can't believe. And when the relationship with God can be very similar. I preached that sermon and Betty, who'd been in her church, she came up to me and she said, I've been in church my whole life. And I can't believe that I just right now thought about that. She said, you know, I think you're right. I think I mostly come to church because that's what people of my generation did. That's how you became a better person.
Yes.
You acquired morality and so on. Yeah. She said, but I'm going to have to go home and pray about that. Have I ever really fallen in love with Jesus? And this woman was in her 80s. She was at least in her 80s. And, you know, it always hit me because I didn't think it was that profound of a sermon, But apparently it was a...
got to her.
It got to her because yeah. I think there's a lot of us that can... You're a good person. You're doing the right thing.
Well, this is what happened to me on this winter cruise that I was on.
Right.
When you're by yourself cruising, you have a lot of time to think. And I was particularly at that point, I'd sold my business, and I was thinking about the history of our family and everything.
And you're thinking a lot about that these days, and I very much respect it, that you're concerned about, you know, you wrote a book to tell a life story for your family.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And I see today that you're also interested in sharing your faith. I mean, you know, this current generation is facing different challenges than you did, and your different challenges than I did at growing up. And the thing that makes me most concerned is that so much of the culture wants to convince people faith and religion, bad idea, you know, the harmful ideas even. Now, at the same time that I see that, I also see kids like mine and others that love the Lord and are smart and are intelligent and not easily fooled because they're willing to do some of their own research. I mean, let's imagine, okay, this is something unheard of when you were a kid, unheard of when I was a kid, that we could have a conversation and record it, put it on the internet, and it could still be there maybe 100 or 200 years from now.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the reasons that I record sermons. It's one of the reasons I do things like this, because like you, I'm starting to think, oh, my kids' kids, their kids, if any of them are interested, you know, someday, and they want to say, hey, Grandpa was a preacher, whatever, he was a missionary, whatever, what did he think about faith, you know? And, I mean, what might you say, considering that maybe somebody's listening to this conversation a century from now, you know, you're one of yours or one of mine, you know, descendants. Sure. I mean, what difference has it made for you to go from, you know, good Christian guy, religious, moral, Apostles' Creed, Lord's Prayer, to in love with Jesus? I mean, what difference does that make?
Well, I just feel so much better about where I've come from now and where I'm going. I have a place, kingdom of God, you know, I'm just in His kingdom, and I'm not worried so much about the world, what's going to happen to the world. I'm worried about my grandkids and the other generations that follow.
Right.
They need to do their own research. They need to do their own study, like I did, and find out for themselves. Don't listen to me.
See, you're not a religious fuddy-duddy telling people to get it together.
No.
You're encouraging people, your family.
Do the study.
Use the mind God gave them.
Exactly.
To draw closer, to look for, do your research, and to hear the voice of God for themselves.
The simple thing in John, the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
The truth is in the Bible.
Absolutely.
It's simply, you just got to find it, and you got to read about it and understand it.
Right.
And I've got that faith in me, and I just love Jesus. And you got to bring Him into your heart. You can't just talk about Him. You got to bring
it
in.
Right. This is not like any random philosophy.
I'm not a philosopher.
This is relationship with God.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. Yeah.
My faith is much stronger now than it ever has been.
Yeah. And don't you think that gives you a kind of, it's not just about the hope of eternal life, but the presence of eternal life now.
Like you said,
I don't have to be as anxious, as worried about the world, because like my first mentor in the ministry, he told me, he used to say this all the time when people got worried. He'd say, hey, I read the back of the book. We win.
We win.
Said, that's what he said. And that's what the Bible talks about, us being able to have a daily, constant hope.
You know, I read now the devotional that Chambers.
Oswald Chambers.
Oswald Chambers.
My utmost for his highest.
Just read a story about his life.
Yeah.
And his wife wrote this book about all his and all these things he wrote about. And I read that daily now, as well as the Bible.
It's one of the best. That's one of the very best.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's the kind of thing. And I've read a lot of other stories about people who've been atheists. And have done their own research.
That's right.
And they turn from atheists into real believers.
Oh, absolutely.
And to those people who are non-believers, that's what they need to do.
You know, it's fascinating. I don't know all the details about Oswald Chambers' life, but from what I understand, like you said...
He died young, by the way.
Yeah, he died fairly young. His wife had put all that together. His words, his teaching, his writing, his preaching was relatively unknown in his life. And My Utmost for His Highest, as I understand it, is either the most or one of the most widely published devotionals on the planet. So he is an example of a little bit of what we were just talking about.
Okay.
That our faith can outlive us because of the things
that
we
say. Oh, very much so. Yeah, because this goes back to the 1800s, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his wife then took all this stuff and put it together in this book that I read all the time. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Daily Devotionals, I think it's called.
Yeah.
What is it? Life
my,
and
My Utmost for His
My
Highest.
My Utmost for His Highest,
yeah. That's and it's the Daily Devotional.
But that's just one of thousands of books. The library is full of thousands of books Jesus.
That's right. Why only listen to the dissenting voices when you can go do your own research?
The media. Yeah. Don't listen to the media.
That's
the
right.
government.
That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I know we have a secular government. Sure, I understand that.
Yeah.
But it was founded by Christian principles.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel good about that.
Well, and you know, the thing is that it is, if that human governance exists to maintain stability and order in the world or whatever, which it doesn't always do such a hot job of that, but let's say that's what it's for. You know, that's one realm of life. But it's unfortunate that I think a lot of people today are under the delusion that that's the only realm of life. And they forget that part of the reason that they're riddled with anxiety, fear, concerns, you know, can't think straight. Because just like you have to exercise your body, just like you have to exercise your mind, you also have to exercise your spirit. Or it atrophies and it's weak and it can't provide the compass of life that God intended it to do, you know?
I know whatever I did in the first 60 years were the result of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God.
Always working.
Always working for
me. That's right.
Every time I had a problem, I mean, I can go back to problem after problem after problem, and it always turned out well for me and the family, not just me, but the family and us and what have you know?
Yeah.
I mean, everything just always fit in. It just felt every job improvement I had, sure I was good at what I did, but the opportunities came along, and it wasn't just luck, okay? I know that.
Oh, you know, and I think it's beautiful that, you know, at this stage in your life, that God has given you an increased awareness and a passion and a love to share your faith.
Exactly.
You know, this is what's probably, I think, missing for a lot of folks who they get to a place in life, in retirement, and they think, what's my mission? What's my purpose? And for more Christians, I would love to see them really rise up and say, you know what, in my latter years of life, I have accumulated more wisdom than I had previously.
Oh, boy.
Let me pray. I'll pray for people.
But I don't have much time to do it. That's the problem.
I think you're doing great.
That's why I'm doing this with you today.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, Larry. I tell you what, maybe let's wrap it up for this conversation, and let's pray. You know, well, let's pray for both of our future generations that you know, sometimes I have some family.
The prayers for future generations. Absolutely.
For future generations.
Absolutely.
I believe sometimes the way God brought me to faith was an answer to the prayers of believers that were of my great-grandparents' generation. I can't prove that. I don't know that. But sometimes I really get that sense.
Wait, you found Christ at 17 years old.
Yeah.
When I was 17 years old, I was thinking about nothing but sports and girls. I mean, I didn't find him until I was 60. I mean, that's why I have hope for the younger generation who haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll take them that many years, but they've got so much going for them
now. Absolutely. Jesus ambushed me when I was right on the precipice of a really good plan I had for a lot of sinning. Let's say that. He saved me from a lot. Well, let's pray. Do you want to pray?
No, I'd prefer
I'll
Pastor.
I'll pray for both of us.
You're much better at this, Pastor, than I am.
Let's do it.
Okay?
Heavenly Father, I just praise you, God, today, and I pray that you would use this conversation. And Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit, as we endeavor to live in ways consistent with your word, that if we train up a child when they are young, when they're old, they won't depart from it. We know that's no money back guarantee. We know that every person has to decide for themselves. And so God, living in ways consistent with training a future generation, at the same time, we're asking for the supernatural power of the wind of the Holy Spirit to bring our children, our grandchildren, and their children, and their grandchildren to faith in Christ so that they might live a life pleasing to you, to glorify you. We ask these things and we thank you for our precious salvation, which is simply having opened our hand in faith to receive the free gift of grace that you give us because of Jesus Christ. Today, God, our faith is in nothing but him, steadfast and firm, the foundation, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, the Son of the living God. God, today we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank
you. I sure appreciate it, my friend. Absolutely.